Well, good evening. You have your Bibles if you'd go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. This lesson tonight, I've entitled it the I Ams of the Apostle Paul. The I Ams of the Apostle Paul. And while you're finding Romans, I wanted to share with you a few verses. I wrote them down here. These are some I Ams from the Bible that speak about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to show you something, a comparison here in just a minute. But like in John chapter 6, verse 35, the Bible tells us, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." And then John chapter 10, verse 9, it says there, "I am the door," speaking about Jesus. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And in John chapter 14, verse 6, I love this one. It's Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These are just a few I Ams that the Bible talks about Jesus. And these I Ams are reserved or set aside for Jesus. I can't be these things that Jesus is mentioning here. I mean, through him, I can do so many things with his help. But these are some I Ams that of Jesus, that I look to Jesus, and he is the bread of life, and he is the door, and he's the salvation. And all that is his. But in Romans chapter 1, through a man, the Apostle Paul, just a man like me and you, just an ordinary man, God greatly used, he also states some I Ams. And I love looking at this because I look at these and I say, hey, I can do these I Ams for my Jesus. I can be these kind of I Ams that are mentioned, here. So I just want to go through a little bit here briefly through it, and I hope you'll see it. I hope it'll build you as it has been for me in my life and stuff. But in Romans chapter 1, verse number 14, there says this, and this is the Apostle Paul for the Holy Spirit leading here, writing. He's saying this. He says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." So the first I am of Paul, or the Apostle Paul, is he's saying, I'm a debtor. I owe a debt to those that have came before me. Paul was appreciative, and he knew he owed a debt. And he says there, the Greek and the barbarians, wise and unwise. But, I think part of what he was thinking about when he's writing this, I think he's remembering when he was Saul, before he got saved, before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, before that time happened in his life. Many events happened in Paul's life, but there's one in particular that I think as he's writing here and he says, hey, I'm a debtor. I'm always going to be debted. I'm always going to owe a debt to those that sacrificed and those that did things in the past. And one place I think is it's in, if you want to go with me to Acts, it's Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and it's going to be verse 54 we'll start at. But Acts chapter 7, what's happening here is a man named Stephen. We've been studying, of course, the book of Acts with our preacher on Wednesday nights, and it's been a lot of months ago that he went through this chapter. But Stephen was a great man of God, one of the first deacons that was appointed in the church. The first church was growing. And in this particular time, Stephen now is standing before the council because of his belief in God and belief in Jesus as the Messiah. And he's answering questions that he's been accused to. And we pick up in verse 54, right when they're about to bring Stephen out, and he's going to be the first martyr for Christianity. It says here in verse 54, it says, "When they heard these things, they were cut into the heart, and they gashed out on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stomped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." That's talking about the Apostle Paul before he was saved. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So you see, I believe Paul, as he's looking back now, he's been admitting, when he's writing in the book of Romans, it's been many years now since he's been saved. He's been a witness for God, he's been a witness for Jesus and stuff. And I think he's remembering back to what he saw as a young man saw, as he saw Stephen, and Stephen standing up and proclaiming Jesus, and even at the point of being stoned, he's saying, don't lay this sin to their charge. You know, forgive them. Paul is remembering that. And, you know, I think it does good in us to think about it. Remember, we owe a debt, don't we? I know y'all have heard me. The times I've been up here, I talk about my mother or my mom. I owe a great debt to her for what she did in my life. But there's even someone else, someone I never knew, someone I never met, but someone that I heard so much about. And that was my dad's granddad. It would be my great-granddaddy. I never met him. I never got to know him. But I got to just see things. I was told things about him. He grew up in the Stanton and Midland area, and he was a circuit-riding preacher. He rode on the horses and stuff and went from church to church, and he was a circuit, just riding and circuit-riding preachers that had to bring them to preach to the communities. I got to see a couple of the little churches I've seen where he was at, and I loved hearing stories about my dad to tell me about his granddad and about what he did, you know. And I go to Stanton when I get a chance. When I do go, there's a street that's named after him there in the town, and there's in the cemetery there. There's a beautiful this big area, big that's built up where the graves are at, and my dad gets to be at the plot too. The area, but to see my great granddaddy's grave and just think about how he was paving the way, you know, for me years later, you know, never knowing him, I can stand and represent my Jesus and my Lord because of him. I owe a debt. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to those that went before me, and I'm saying that I'm a debtor to all those that have been before me, huh? And then he goes on back in Romans, chapter 1. In verse 15, Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So the next I am is not only am I a debtor, but Paul's saying, I am ready. I am ready to share the good news, the gospel about Jesus Christ. He was ready. I remember one time in my life just thinking about this thing of being ready. I remember I went to a conference in Fort Worth in LaVon Drive Baptist Church, the name of the church, many years ago with my preacher. And we went to this conference, and it was I'm going to date myself now. Y'all going to know how old I am. 7-Eleven stores used to close at 11. That's why they said 7-Eleven. They weren't open 24 hours a day. They closed at 11, okay? And there was a 7-Eleven store in this town that, you know, closed at 11. But that's many years ago. Y'all can't believe it. Y'all do that. That's how long back it was. But we went to this meeting, and we got done about 10:15 or so at the meeting, went to the motel room, and I went downstairs. They had the vending machines outside at the motel, outside the thing underneath. And I went down to get some Cokes and treats and stuff with me and the preacher and stuff. I was going down there, and about 10:30, 10:35, we got back to the room, but I still had on my suit coat, and I had my New Testament. I had my New Testament, you know, was in my suit coat, the Bible. And I went down to the vending machine, and as I went down around the corner, and it was a little dark, and I went to walk up, all of a sudden, I heard this movement kind of start, and look, and in between the vending machine, there's this young man standing there. He's probably about 15, 16 years old, you know, just a teenage young man, standing between the machine there and stuff. And I said, oh, son, you know, man, you startled me, you know, some of your stuff. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, you know, stuff. And I got to talking with him. I got to tell him that I'd been to the big church at the LaVon Drive Baptist Church at a meeting. And he told me, oh, that big church, that one right down here, the big church, I've been there. He said, I get to go to that church, not a lot. I get to go maybe once a month, whenever I get to spend time with my dad, so he's divorced, you know, he said, every once in a while, when I go with my dad, the bus comes by and picks me up and takes me to the long drive after church. And then he's telling me, I love that, you know, I love that place and stuff. Well, I got to, I see this kid, yeah, I need to be real. And I remember, I began to talk to him about Jesus, and then just real quickly there, and said, well, they told you, if you talk to Jesus, I know, and he had questions, he started asking me some real smart questions. I got my Bible out, and I got to share with that young man the good news about Jesus, and I got to see him standing there, I got to see him pray, and that Jesus come to his heart. These lights flash on and off. He's standing there, oh, he jumps beside me, and he said, oh, sir, that's my buddies across the road. I'm supposed to meet him over there, and we're going to be robbing that place. You know, we're going to be robbing that place. He said, I don't want to do it anymore. So I said, well, you son, do have no problem. Yeah, you're right. No, you don't need no. Can you get out of where you're at? You need to get going and stuff. And I went and told the manager to set that place. I went and told him about the event of all that event. But just being ready. You know, just being ready, you know, to share the good news about Jesus, you know. I'll never forget that event or that thing, you know, that young man. I never seen that young man again, you know, in life and stuff. But I know it made a difference in his life, you know, that night and from now on and stuff. And Paul said, I am ready. I'm ready to share the gospel. And we need to be ready at any time to share the news about Jesus. It don't mean preaching and like the preacher. It just means sharing what Jesus done for you, what he's done for us, you know, just being ready. So Paul says, I'm a debtor, and I'm ready. And then he goes down in verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So he sees that I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. You know what? Another thing happened. I've been talking about whether I should share this or not. I don't want this to sound boastful, and I don't mean it at all. It's all about Jesus. But I remember, too, at this time frame, I was younger. I guess I was mid-20s, 25, 26 years old, or something like that, years old and stuff. I remember I was trying to be bold with my Lord and being a witness, and I worked at Texas Instruments. They had a big plant here in Lubbock that it employed about 4,000 people at one time in Lubbock. And I worked at that technical plant. And talking about not being ashamed, I remember I was witnessing to my coworkers. I'd get tell them about Jesus. I'd let them know that, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe in with the Lord and all this stuff. I want to tell you, we never need to be ashamed of that. We never know what a great impact it has, just our Christian testimony. And this is what happened to me. I still to this day, it's hard to be. As I was working at TI, I had to prepare some. We had weekly production meetings about building the calculators, and I had to prepare some of the stuff that we showed. I had to get the numbers and prepare and go to those meetings. So I went. I did that every week in the week meetings. But once a month, they had these meetings that there was the corporate leaders and the site manager and all the big bosses and all the other big people. They all came to the monthly meeting. And for some reason, I was always scheduled to be at that monthly meeting. I never showed anything. You know, I never showed a paper. I never was asked any kind of number. I was just always told, you were to attend that meeting. You were to be at that meeting. And, you know, and it went by about 3 or 4 months of going to that meeting, and I just always standing at that meeting, just sitting at the meeting. I always got real behind in my regular job, what I was doing. I went to those monthly meetings. I had to catch up. And everything was crazy. So I went to my supervisor. I said, why? Why did I have to go to that meeting?
I don't do nothing. I don't show nothing. I don't do nothing. You know, why did I have to be in that meeting? He said, well, Stacy, the general manager, the manager guy, he said he's noticed. But the times you had up there, there's a lot of cussing. There's a lot of fire. There's a lot of mud cussing going on. A lot of people better than no people. He said, but when you're there, no more cussing. No more cussing. I'm there because I'm cussing at a meeting,
but you know, think about that.
That's the testimony of Jesus, isn't it? What else could it be? These are crazy things. I don't know why they're coming to my mind.
Oh man, why are these coming here?
I had a break at the break room at 10. And everybody, I walked up and they stopped telling all the nasty, dirty jokes I'm telling. Then they start changing. We walked up. He had been, they'd been getting to our time. We walked up to the vending machine. We put our money in. I put my money in. On this unscrewed battery, we put my money in, and then these potato chips fell out. They rubbed the potato chips. They came out. Got them out. I got my bag out. He walked up. He came beside there, and he was one of the ones that just, we were just telling him, and they just stopped. He put his money in. Same bag of potato chips. You'll fall down. We pick him up. We're standing there. I opened up my bag, right? And it's running over with potato chips. I mean, you pop open the bag and it's potato chips are falling out. But what? Really? He opened up his bag. There was one potato chip. There was one little chip inside his sealed bag. He looked at me. He looked at me and I said, well, Jesus says he blesses him in all kind of ways. You know, look what he's got. He just couldn't believe it. I couldn't either, you know. That's true. That's true. And I just, and when I think of those things, I think about not being ashamed. Not being ashamed of saying, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I want to be like him. I want to be more like him. I love that song, More About Jesus. More about Jesus, what I want to be more like him. I'm a Christian. Not to be ashamed of the world. It seems like these days, that's
given as an excuse of some side note. No, that needs to be a front note. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus and I stand true to him, you know? And that's not being ashamed of the gospel. And that's what Paul was saying there too. And if you go to Romans chapter 8, the last one of the I am, the Paul. I've got a weird imagination. I know that. When Brother Wayne told me about the kids, I guess one of the kids in my mind, when I read, it's like I'm always imagining. And when I read these two verses here I'm about to read, but I think every time I read these verses, I always, it's like I'm seeing a contest between the Holy Spirit and Paul. It's like Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write these words. And when I read these two verses, it's like the Holy Spirit and Paul, they kind of get into a contest. They kind of get into a word contest. I hope you'll see what I mean here. As they're trying to describe this, all of a sudden it seems like who's going to come up with the next word or who's going to come up with the next thing, okay? But look what it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse number 38. Paul says here, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man, Paul said, you know why I can go through many of the things he went through? He was persuaded. And I don't know if you see it like that. I could do there, but it's like they were wanting to come up with another way to describe how much neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers. It's who can come up with the next word. Who, you know, all these things are going through, and they're just trying to say it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. You know, nothing. Nothing at all. So the I ams, I may not can be these I ams of Jesus. I'm glad he is. And I'm persuaded that he is and know that he is. He's all these things and much more, huh? But I can't be those. I can't be the bread of life, and I can't be the door, and I'm not the good shepherd, and I'm not these things, I know. But I can be some of these things of Paul. I can realize I'm a debtor, that I owe a debt to so many in my past. I owe a debt to. I owe a debt to those today. I owe a debt to Brother Chris, my preacher here, I owe such a debt to. This church and you, every one of you. I'm a debtor. And then I'm ready. I should always, and we should be ready to tell the good news about Jesus. Just be ready. I'm ready. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to say, man, I believe in Jesus and he's done everything for me. I'm a Christian, you know? And then I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded of God's love. I'm persuaded that it's love for me through Jesus as it is, but I'm persuaded that it's all much more than I can even imagine. The I ams of Paul, I think it'd be some good I ams to try to copy. A debtor, ready, not to be ashamed, and to be persuaded of Jesus' love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the wonderful truths that we see in your word here. I thank you so much, Lord, that you are so many of the I ams in the mention, that you embrace them and you are all of it. But Lord, I thank you in the book of Romans and for your servant Paul, I thank you that you give me some things that we can strive for, that I can strive for, Lord. And Lord, I know, I don't always do it, I know. But Lord, I pray that I'd always try to realize how much I owe those from the past, and I'm a debtor to so many. And Lord, please, Lord, let me always remember how I need to be ready, Lord, ready at any time, even when I'm not thinking it maybe is going to be happening, but Lord, be ready to let it happen, to share the good news about you, Lord, to just share about you to anybody. And then, Lord, never be ashamed, Lord, never, ever be ashamed of the fact that, that what you've done for me and how you've done it, and you're doing still for me, Lord. It just, I love you so much. And Lord, I'm persuaded that your love is greater than anything that can be described or mentioned. So Lord, thank you for all that you are. And then Lord, we'll just continue to be with our campers. And Lord, this week and especially tonight now, let's be with them and the messages there. And give them a good night's sleep and a great day tomorrow. And Lord, just do bring them back safely. And I pray we'd hear great and wonderful news of those that are being saved and surrendering their life to you, Lord. And Lord, we just love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.